Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need your glory.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Amen, amen, amen. God is so good, and he is so worthy to be praised. We welcome everyone here to Bible study this Wednesday night at this 7 p.m. hour. We thank God for every single one of you, each and every one of you. Apostle Tawanika and I, you know, we are so glad to be here with you all in the presence of the Lord. You know, this is just such a beautiful day. I like to say this is today that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be so glad in this day because our God, he's so awesome. He's so good. He's been so good to us. And he's definitely so worthy to be praised. Let us pray. Let us pray before we enter into anything. Let's acknowledge the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in this right here time, this set time that you have set aside for us, all of us to come together on one accord, lifting up your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your power. We thank you for watching over us all day, and we've seen the goodness of you, Lord, right here in the land of the living. And we thank you, Lord, for so much favor, so much mercy, so much provision that you have provided for us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you go before us today in Bible study today, that we may hear your word, that we may hear what you would have for us to hear. We may learn what you would have for us to learn today. We pray that every single anointed ear that they receive you today and every single anointed heart that they receive you today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. For we understand, Father God, that this is the time where we can go deeper and be more intimate, you know, in our questions and in our thoughts and in the relationship that you want us to have with you. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over every single one and every single one that is here today and all that have the desire to come, everyone that is online. We pray, you know, that the love of God, that it touch you right now as well. Even in this city of Houston or in the city of New York or even in Chicago, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your presence. We plead your blood over each and every one. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. And the whole church do say amen, amen again. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to my beautiful wife, Apostle Tawanika Manning. She's just smiling when I see my beautiful wife. You know, I'm going to turn it over to her. You know, she just finished up a series that we just finished. And here's a new, we have a new lesson. God's been working with her and, you know, putting it on her heart. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, what the topic is, but I know we're going to be talking about worry, you know, worry. So I'm gonna turn it over to her. She's going to go ahead on and lead this charge. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God. Give our honor to God. And
yes.
Who's the head of my life and the lifter of my life, who lifter of my head and my life and all, uh-huh. for all of us, and Pastor Dorsey Manning here. God bless you.
Amen.
And we just thank God on today and just having what we need to be victorious, having what we need to be successful in this life, to be the overcomer, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Having Jesus, and, you know, when we say great is he that's in us and he that's in the world, and knowing that we have what we need because we have Jesus working
right
on the inside of us.
Right.
So today we're going to talk about worry. Many of us are in bondage because of this spirit of worry, and then it allow others to enter in that come with it. So today we're going to talk about worry. You know, some people that say, I can't help it. I'm a worry. What they call it? Worry a worry bug, a worry, and they just were a worrier.
Right.
They call themselves a worrier. They just, they say they can't help it. I can't help but to worry. That's just my nature, they say it.
Right.
You know, it's to worry. So we're going to talk about that because the enemy has deceived you into being something that God has not called you to be. You are not a worrier. Amen.
Amen.
You are a child of God. So all that comes from the kingdom of Satan. When we start to decree and declare and speak over our lives, these powerful words, these spirits, that we are this and we have received that thing.
Yes.
We've believed it, so we have received it to be that. So we're going to talk about the spirit of worry and worrying itself and how it is the joy stealer. It steals your joy. It robs you of time. It robs you of life because you're in that place of worrying, and worry brings about fear. And we're going to talk about that. First, I want to start a scripture to start us off again as we start this lesson of study is in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25. And I thank Pastor Manny for praying us in. And I just want to come against the spirit, every unteachable spirit right now,
yeah.
Every hindering spirit,
yeah.
every spirit of confusion and
yeah.
disbelief and every lying spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit, which we know that comes from the kingdom of Satan, every spirit of distraction, spirit of frustration, procrastination, and limitation. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We come against it right now with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we command you to cease your works right now and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree and declare that it is so and it shall be no other way. Lord, we ask you to fill these areas that we have vacated, have been vacated by the enemy with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, that when the enemy comes back, amen, it will find it that is no longer vacated. Amen.
Amen.
And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen. So we want to start off in the book of Matthew as we go through this lesson about worry. And I believe it can help so many of us, especially those here that are in the body of Christ, that have come to believe, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And understand that if you're in that place of worry, understanding where it comes from and what did Jesus say about worry.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when we look in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it reads, and I'm coming from the New King James Version, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Amen. So when we look at this particular scripture here, because of the ill effects of worry, church, Jesus tells us not to worry about those needs that God promises to supply. We know that God promises a yes and amen.
Yeah.
So worry may, one, damage your health. I'm telling you, if you, that person is a worrier, and you look at yourself right now and see what worry has done to your health. Two, because the object of your worry to consume your thoughts. So worry may consume your thoughts. And three, it may disrupt your productivity. And four, it will negatively affect the way you treat others. And five, it will reduce your ability to trust in God. So how many ill effects of worry are you experiencing in your life, church? Here is the difference between worry. I want you to understand. Here's the difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes, but concern moves you to action. Amen. It moves you to action. So as we're here in a lesson of study, we're talking about worry, the spirit of worry, to overcome it, understanding it is the joy stealer of our life. Jesus says, do not, don't, but we do it anyway. We worry, and because we do, we become tense and troubled. Multiple times Jesus says clearly, specifically, unequivocally, do not worry about your life, as we just read here in the book of Matthew 6 and 25, meaning don't worry about anything in your life. And that's anything, church, not anything. Is that even possible? When we ask ourselves that question, not anything, and then is that even possible? So when we worry, we allow our irreplaceable time to waste away. Worrying about the length of your life will not add one day to your life. Spending an entire night stressing over a problem won't usher in a solution any more than an afternoon of fretting over your finances will fix them. So for some, worry seems as natural as blinking. Many assume that being worry-free is merely wishful thinking, but this is until we experience firsthand just how personal God is and how faithful he is to meet our deepest inner needs. Amen. So Jesus reasons with us. If God faithfully provides food for the birds, won't he much more provide for you, especially since you have far more value. Amen. So knowing just how much your worry wears you down, Jesus lovingly reminds you in the book of Luke chapter 22 says, do not worry. Do not worry. Amen. So, you know, we've seen them. You know, you've met them. You know them. Maybe you are one of them, the worriers. Or you've claimed to be that, I'm a worry. I can't help it. Worriers don't fully relax. They don't let their guard down. And at night they toss and turn, regretting today and dreading tomorrow. Worriers are convinced that around every corner calamity lurks just waiting to pounce. Worriers feel that they won't have sufficient funds for the future, or they won't meet someone else's expectations ever. They fret about what people will think, or worse, what people will say, especially about them. And if they aren't worrying about something, they're agonizing over the thought that they have somehow missed something to worry about. Yeah, like a merry-go-round church on an outdoor playground, round and round and round they go in a tiring attempt to control everything in their lives. Yet the truth remains, worrying will never make you merry. It will never make you happy. It will never fix the problem, nor can it enhance your present life or even prepare you for the future. Jesus pinpoints this truth in the book of Matthew. If you go to drop down to verse 27, and we're going to hit on 34. So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, the Bible says, hallelujah. I'm going to give you all a chance to get there. Matthew, we're already in Matthew chapter 6. We read verse 25. Then we're going to drop down to verse 27. The Bible said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his nature? Which one of you? Then if you go over to verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So understanding planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. So sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference. Certain planning is thinking ahead about goals and steps and schedules and trusting in God's guidance. When done well, planning can help alleviate worry. Worriers, by contrast, are consumed by fear and find it difficult to trust God. That's true. They find it difficult to trust God. They let their plans interfere with their relationship with God. So don't let worry about tomorrow, church, affect your relationship with God today. Amen. Do not allow it to affect your relationship with God today. Trust in God with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. Amen. And we're talking about what is worry. What does worry look like? Amen. What does worry feel like? Amen. We talk about this spirit of worry that you allow to enter into you and just consume you, take over you, and to control your life. Amen. So let's pay attention here with worry. So we're going to expose the enemy for what he is, the liar that he is, the thief, the murderer that he is. Okay. So just look in here. So whether you find yourself in a frustrating situation or facing an unknown future, worry can seem so normal, so typical, so logical. However, you need to ask yourself two simple but sensible questions. How has worrying helped me in the past? And how will worrying help me in the future? Our master teacher, Jesus, makes his point clear in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. So we're still in the same chapter in verse 31. Let's go to verse 31. We'll read it here together. Again, I'm coming out the New King James Version. The Bible says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Again, we see it here in the Bible. Worry is useless, pointless, worthless, and more so to live in a constant state of agonies, you all, is absolutely exhausting. So what do you need to know about worrying? Worry is mental distress, primarily over a negative possibility in the future. Worry is a state of mind, a way of thinking, a mental habit. Worry is a preoccupation with something bad that may happen, that may not happen or cannot happen. The Bible says in Psalm 55:2, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. So worry in English is derived from the old German word worgen, meaning to strangle or choke. Worry is a thief that steals joy and strangles faith out of the believer. Worry is a destroyer when it chokes the word of God from us, keeping our lives from bearing fruit. The Bible says in Mark 4:19, Jesus says, the worries of this life come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I'm going to give you a chance to write that down. That's in the book of Mark, Mark 4, and that's verse 19. Mark 4:19. Hallelujah. So worry divides the mind between what is motivating and demotivating. This is constructive and destructive. Worry in the New Testament, in the Greek word, merimono, meaning to worry anxiously, to be distracted by, or literally to have a divided mind. So the Greek word, it comes from two words, which is merimano, and it's spelled merimnao, and it comes from two words, which is merizo, which is merizo, to draw in different directions, to divide, and then nous, which is nous, the mind. So you have it here, to draw in different directions, to draw the mind into different directions. So the word can be compared to a person of double-minded and unstable in all that they do. We see this in the book of James 1:8. Understand how the brain and word systems, how that works. The question is, how does worry impact the brain? And the answer, church, is your body has been created by God with a physical defense system that is ready to be activated when you are in danger. Consider how this defense system works within your brain. So excessive worry causes a distress signal to be sent to the brain's command center. Okay, so the trap, and just understand, just giving you an example so you can kind of picture it for yourself. The traffic cop, the portion of the brain, it's called the amygdala, and I'll spell it for you. Amygdala is A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A, in concert, the brain's command center, and then it directs information as if a taxi cab is carrying the adrenaline and cortisone to bypass the thinking center, the cortex, and instead to go straight to the emotional center, which is the limbic system. So the reward, the pleasure center, which is the nucleus, it welcomes the feel-good, the chemical, which is dopamine. It creates growing desire for more, even though the situation causing the worry is not necessarily a healthy or positive force. So having been an excessive worry activates the physical defense system, and it activates it really quickly before the brain's visual centers can fully process what is happening. The brain is basically saying, don't think about what's happening, just feel it and react to it. So the more often this process occurs, the more easily travel the brain's superhighway or neural pathway in the brain becomes where adrenaline and dopamine create an unhealthy craving for more of the same. So over time, this well-worn pathway can become a rut. It takes a greater effect to get out of a rut than it does to steer around it. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Amen. So understanding that, keeping our mind stayed on God because we trust in God, and that our mind on the cares of this world, the things of this world, things that we have no control over, and just trusting God in it all, for it all, and with it all, and all that's concerning us. Amen. So just trusting God in it and not worrying about it. So let's talk about what are the weary and what is, or what ifs or worry. I want to talk about that, the weary and the what ifs of worry. You know, it's always that, well, what if this happened, or what if that happened, or what if I'm not on time, or what if I can't. It's just that whole thing going over and over about what if. You know, so where is your focus? Is it on your future, the unknown events in your life yet to occur? Is it on your past or the frequent rehearsed painful events that have shaped your life? Or is it on your faithful God? So how he has been your sufficiency in the past and how he will be your provider in the future. You can replace your fretful worry with faith. Jesus illustrates this by asking you to observe how God's caregiving extends even to clothing grassy fields with wildflowers. When we read in the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 27 to 28, we see here in the Bible in verse 27 to 28, it says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more would he clothe you, you of little faith? How much more? We worry about all these things and the what ifs and what if this and what if that and that. Or what if I can, and what if I can, and what if I don't, and, you know, just what will happen, and just living in constant worry and fear and not trusting God, you know, not trusting what God can do, because God is able to do all things but fail. If we realize that, putting our whole trust in God, my Lord, my God, amen. Let's see if anyone has any questions or any comments at this time. And I'll leave Pastor Man and see if you have anything to say about, you know, worry and a spirit of worry and how it will keep you in bondage. It'll keep you trapped. It'll keep, and you'll begin to feed on that thing, and you'll be looking, you know, you just become that person that you say, a worrier. And you'll continue to live that life of worry, and it'll begin to break you down and eat away at you every moment of your life. Amen. So let's see, Pastor Man, you want to add something to it? Okay, man.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. This is one of those honest, this is an honest lesson here. And I don't know if a person can say, you know, I don't worry about anything. I thank God that he give us, you know, something for worry. For worry, God has given us rest. That's what I do want to say, you know, rest. And that's resting in the mind and resting in the heart. You have to put your mind to rest. You have to put your heart at ease, you know, knowing that those very things that you're worried about, you know, it all started, and I heard you say this, Apostle, you know, it's fear. And the fear, you know, it came from a thought that you had, something that was suggested, you know, in your mind, that created anxiety or created a sense of urgency or an emergency. And it, you know, if you didn't know what to do, you know, your mind and your heart enter into that thing called worry, which is groundless fear. You know, that's groundless fear. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty just like, you know, everyone else. But I thank God that he has given us rest. Resting, knowing that he is our God. He has already made every single thing that we're needing available. Every single thing that we need, you know, God has already made it available. And I know, you know, some may say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say when I got all these right here bills due, or when all this sickness is in my body, or that's easy for you to say, you know, Pastor, and you know, you got everything you need, but I'm in lack. You know, I don't have this and I don't have that. You know, it's not easy for me to say. You know, I'm just a witness of what God is able to do when you turn it all over to him. You know, that's one of the very things that God wants you to turn over to him is worrying about tomorrow, worrying about this and worrying about that. He wants your focus to be on him. He wants your focus to be on Christ Jesus. He wants your focus to be on what he said. You got to know that, you know. And if you get an opportunity, go over to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, Hebrews chapter 4. Do we have an opportunity? Can I read Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1? Okay, Apostle said I can read Hebrews chapter 4. And this is one of the things that helped me to mature a little bit in this area. I ain't saying I'd have made it there yet. Mm. But Hebrews chapter 4, you know, there was a minister, you know, I thank God for they put ministers in our life, but he showed me this, and I start to focus on the word of God. He told me to go over to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, NLT, Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1. It reads here, yeah, Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 in the New Living Translation. It reads, God's promise is entering his rest still stands. Hear what that says? It says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands, church. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And 2 says, for this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share in the faith of those who listened to God. And I'm just going to stop right there. No, I'm going to read 3. It says, for only we who believe can enter into this rest. So right there, you know, that's a place where I just, you know, I start to understand, you know, what the word of God has to say about worry. And what he's saying is right here is that, you know, God's promise still stands. So whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever it is that's going on in your mind, or whether it be something physically with your body, whether it be something mentally, or whether, you know, you don't have clothes, you don't have food, or you don't have a right relationship, you know, we need to turn, you know, to what the promise of God says. You know, we need to learn what the word of God says, because what can you do about worry other than use the word of God or believe in the word of God? Because that's the only place where you can win, is in that place of resting in what he said and what he promised. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, resting, yes. I always tell people this. They say, what do you do when you get stressed out? And I think you already know.
Yeah, you go to sleep.
Yeah, I go to sleep. I will go lay down.
Yeah.
I truly go rest and be like, okay, I'm just going to sleep. Like, you sleep? Yep. I trust God. I'm going to lay down and rest. It ain't going to do me no good. I know I need to lay myself down and let God have his way. So let me just lay down and rest. I really do.
You're telling the reason why you rest, because you're not resting because, you know, you're tired. You're resting because this is where your mind, it enters into focusing on the word of God. Because this is just this is not physical rest, what God is talking about here. What he's talking about is resting in his promise. That
absolutely.
Means
that so
not do nothing. That means that do something in the place of what he promised. Remember what he promised.
I literally go and lay myself down and say, Lord, I trust you. After I've done all that I can do, and trusting God to do the rest, I do what I can possibly do as a human, and then trust God to do the impossible. So I've done my part, and now I'm trusting God in it. Okay, I'm laying down. I'm not going to worry about it. If I say God, and I know that God has it, and I receive from God, then I'm not going to worry about it. I truly, spiritually, physically, rest.
Yeah.
I lay it down. I shut it down. I'm like, okay. And I don't keep it. Because it's easy to go in that place of worry. It's so easy for us to enter into that place. But can we enter into the place of rest and trust in God and stand on God's promises? So yes and amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. All right. So we're going to be wrapping up here. I know it's a lot to take in all at one time. But definitely, you want to say something else? You look like you want to say something else. Oh, I thought you wanted to say something else. Okay, yeah. So before we wrap up here anyway, I want to talk about the weary. You know, we talked about the what ifs of worry. You know, what if this or what if this that? Or what if they find out this about me? Or what if somebody, you know what I'm saying? What if they find out this or what are they going to say about me? What do they think about me? You know, it's just that whole thing that you can, you know, go down this whole, you know, out of what ifs. It has been said that life is a me or shower or what ifs. So if you're worried, you're likely to spend a great deal of the time wondering about the what ifs or what if this happening, what may or may not happen. You know, we just assume the worst, you know, then worrying about the worst, and you get caught up in speculating, you know, what could happen, you know, what the outcome could be. And it's always that, not the good outcome of it, but it's always the worst outcome. Some people always think about the worst outcome. The worst outcome. So what if I don't finish in time? What if I lose my job, my savings? What if I don't have enough money? What if I fail? What if I don't know what to do? What if I can't meet expectations? What if I have a really bad experience? What if I don't have enough time? Or what if I get too stressed out? What if I make a mistake and do it wrong? What if I make a fool of myself? What if I never meet my soulmate? What if someone I love hurts me or is hurt? What if I'm rejected? What if I become seriously ill? What if I can't take care of myself? Or what if I end up alone? What if? What if I run out of options? What if? There's so much you can what if about. You can go there. What if I don't have this? What if this? What if this happened? What if? Oh my goodness! You'll drive yourself crazy.
Especially if you answer any of those questions.
Absolutely.
You answered any of those questions, yeah.
And normally, there's an answer. What if this happens? And if it does happen, then what I'm going to do about that? Then it takes you on this whole road of what if, now what I'm going to do, and oh, my goodness, and if that does happen, then what I'm going to do about it, how I'm going to do that, and how I'm gonna, oh, now you drove yourself crazy, and you live there. You have people that say, if I ain't got nothing to worry about, then what I'm doing? They say, people literally say out their mouth, I'll stop worrying when I die, when I leave here.
And they
actually do. And it would take them out before time. You all be speculative and often a fatalistic what ifs can paralyze your present and obscure your future. Your mind cannot be consumed with worry about future possibilities and solve present day problems at the same time. Jesus. Instead of worrying about the negative what ifs, you can make a conscious decision not to be distracted, distressed, or distraught with worry. What if instead you put your trust in God and place your confidence in God and God alone? Amen? The Bible says in the book of Psalm 91, hallelujah. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're talking about putting our trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And dwelling. We're talking about our mind here. My Lord, my God, Jesus, and I hate to say this because I went to a church and they kept saying, help somebody. Help somebody.
No, that's not what they're saying.
I just want to say that. What did they say?
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, they say, I'm going to say help somebody. They did
come
say,
on, somebody.
They did say, come on, somebody. I heard that so much in one church, so much. I'm like, why do they get, come on, somebody. I'm like,
They the one that need to come on.
Okay, amen. So we're going to wrap up here, church. And if you have any questions or comments, and if you're actually logged in, please give us a call at 845-277-9213, and we'd be happy to answer any questions or receive any comments that you may have on this lesson on worry. I know some people end up in the hospital because of worry, and worry leads to stress. I mean, in the hospital, they couldn't find anything wrong with them. It's just that they were so stressed out from worrying that it caused them to be hospitalized. They couldn't find anything wrong with them. But they definitely, they were going through something because they allowed their spirit to enter into them and to wreak havoc in their body. So you have people even suffer stroke or heart attack just because it begins to break down the cells in your body. People don't understand, this is the trickery of the enemy. Remember, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Those who are in Christ, that's what he does. And using, what you like, with worry? Yes. That's the spirit that you're allowed to enter in. And before we wrap up here, I just want to cover this part here in our lesson as we talk about fear versus worry. Fear versus worry. The question is, what is the difference between fear and worry? And understanding how these two interchange or how they operate together, how they, I want to say, partner up together to destroy you, to destroy the body of Christ. We got many people in the body of Christ that are dealing with this spirit day in and day out in ministry, that are in pulpits, that are dealing with the spirit of fear and worry. And they've partnered up to take you out. Understand it. So understand what fear is. Fear is an emotional reaction to a perceived present danger, whereas worry is mental, a mental distress over a possible undesired happening in the future. So fear focuses on the present event and is energizing when it propels a person to action in a way that removes or lessens real danger. So worry is distracting and can lead to distress, despair, and even depression and anxiety. In addition, worry is problems and unknown future events. Fear sees a threat. Worry imagines one. Fear sees a threat. Worry imagines one. Because when you're operating with worry like that, you always, you know, if you're worrying, you know, this could happen to me. Or you see something happen to someone else, and you start automatically putting yourself there saying, oh, it's going to happen to me.
That's the answer, and I think that's if you answer it, that's what that is.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I want us to understand, Church, the Lord offers these comforting words to those overwhelmed with worry. The Bible says in Psalm 50:15, it says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Call upon him in your day of trouble. A lot of times we call on everything else and everybody else, but the Bible tells us to call upon our Lord, amen, and he will deliver us. He will deliver us, and we will honor him, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As far as we wrap up here in our lesson today, amen, we thank God for the word on today and the lesson. I definitely need that because sometimes if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in that place of worry. And if you do, I want you to take the time out and just really observe what's going on with you when you allow the spirit to enter into you. And then take a moment and put your mind on Jesus and watch how peace overcome you. It works. I said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. But will we keep our mind stayed on Jesus? I'm telling you, the moment you take your mind off that thing and put it on Jesus, the peace that surpasses all understanding, it overtakes you. Amen. In that situation that's going on that you've allowed yourself to be a part of and begin to worry about it, and even something that has not even happened yet.
And that's what worry is.
And you're just looking, you just believe it's going to happen and looking for it to come. And sometimes it never happens.
That's what worry and fear is.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Pastor Nana close us out here, and I thank you all tonight. So we'll pick up next Wednesday as we continue to talk about the spirit of worry and how it has come to rob us of our joy, the joy stealer, the joy killer, you know. So we're going to continue in this lesson, and I just pray we all receive it be delivered, be set free, you know, because we have the freedom, amen, through Christ Jesus. We have a resurrection power. We overcome. We're overcomers through Christ Jesus, amen. And just stay there. Stay in that place. Live there in our faith. Believe and receive in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. So we're going to let Pastor Manny close out here with a few words. And in prayer, we're going to wrap up here. And God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for this lesson. This lesson, you know, it really opens up my eyes, you know, to some things that I didn't even know, you know, that was going on. While you was going through the lesson and reading scripture and talking about worry, you know, remember I said, you know, earlier, you know, that we will have anointed ears to hear, you know, and an anointed mind to receive. Well, that was going on because I realized that worrying, you know, about anything as a result of worrying, you know, that's negative meditation. I mean, you're meditating on something instead of, you know, the promise, you know, that God has for us, you know, he tells us to stand on. You're doing just the opposite, and then you start murmuring and complaining. That's I hope I ain't going too far up in the lesson right now, but I realize, you know, something that I may have been doing is murmuring and complaining about something. That's because worry had slipped in there, slipped itself in there, you know, and here it is when I get to murmuring and complaining. That's fear that's speaking. And I believe that's the whole strategic plan. I think worry is a step to what's really trying to happen. I think that, you know, worrying, I think that's Satan or these demonic spirits. They're trying to get you to ultimately to speak so you can bring something to pass. Hey, man, I'm going to let it stay right there. I'm going to let it stay right there. I don't know who sang that song that we used to hear growing up. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, you know. But I like that song for this right here. Going, if we had the music, we'd sure enough play it. Don't worry, you know, be content. Be content. Be patient. Be strongly rooted and grounded in God's promises, which are yes and amen. That means knowing what he said about that thing that you're worrying about. Those thoughts that you are considering, those places where you're entering and going, even what you're going through right now, you know, still, you know, don't worry about it. You know, use what he said about it. That's all you can do. That's all you can do, or else, you know, I mean, if you don't, I mean, you know the result. I mean, if you don't do what he said about it, you're accepting that it is what it is instead of calling those things that be not as though they were, you know, instead of worrying, you know, about anything, you know, God, he didn't enter that place of calling it like it is. Even God called those things that be not as though they were, because that's where you're receiving whatever it is that you're looking for, you know, to happen. That's where that comes in, that when you speak it, when you call that thing, that's actually standing on that word, on his promise. God bless every single one, and may God keep you. Am I praying us out? Apostle? Okay, Apostle, I'm praying us out. Right there where you are, lift up your hands right now. And we say right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, help. Help us in those areas of our lives to where we begin to murmur and complain. Help us in those areas of our lives, Father, where we enter into worry. Help us to remember what your word says, Father, about every single thing that we can ever enter into or ever think. Help us to remember 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. You said casting down those high exalting thoughts, those imaginations, and bringing them to obey your word, Christ Jesus, bringing them to the obedience of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to remember that you are right there. For you said that you would never leave us, neither will you forsake us, no matter what, even to the end of the world. And we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your help. Amen. Holy Spirit, we pray that every single one was able to experience you on tonight, that we may carry your word over into our sleep and over into the rest of our week, that we may live a prosperous life that is upright and pleasing in your sight, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare tonight that all is well with us. All of our worries and cares, we have rolled them over on you in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are one that cares for us. And we say all is well. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the whole church do say amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
May God keep you. We are looking forward to being here with you again Sunday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday. You know, have a blessed evening in the name of Jesus. Don't allow worry and stress and fear to overtake you. You know, we are overcomers. You know, just remember that. We are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
And everything is all. Everything is all good. Everything is well. All is well with you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past.